on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, cafes and restaurants in Northern Ireland may be allowed to reopen this week, but without selling alcohol. Ministers are meeting at Stormont at the moment to discuss their next move. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says they're continuing to effectively manage the COVID-19 outbreak at the facility. The government is being urged to prioritise the resumption of respite care for Donegal service users. It's understood that of the four designated respite centres in the county, two are currently being used to provide services on an emergency basis for four adults. And there is some positivity over the latest vaccine, which has been issued by Pfizer. Later in the bulletin, Oisin Kelly is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15, including, of course, a preview of tonight's crucial match between Finn Harps and Waterford in Finn Park. Cafes and restaurants in Northern Ireland may be allowed to reopen this week, but without selling alcohol. A four-week circuit break lockdown in effect in the north is due to expire on Thursday. Ministers are currently meeting to discuss their next move amid continuing high figures, as Casey Reardon now reports.
Ministers in Stormont are meeting for a second time today to decide whether to ease COVID-19 restrictions on Thursday as planned. An earlier meeting was adjourned so additional scientific evidence could be gathered. Hospitals in the north remain under pressure. 10 deaths have been confirmed today alongside 471 new cases. It's expected some restrictions will be extended for 2 weeks while others will be eased. Restaurants and cafes may be allowed to reopen without selling alcohol, which hospitality sector representatives say will make trade unviable. Hairdressers and beauticians may also be allowed to reopen under proposals being considered. An announcement will be made later this evening.
The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says they're continuing to effectively manage a COVID-19 outbreak at the facility. Close contacts, including both patients and staff, are being closely monitored. The situation has resulted in increasing pressures at the hospital, with non-COVID services in turn being impacted. Manager Sean Murphy says among the issues, staffing problems are exacerbating the strain the hospital is under.
We have a number of staff out at the moment, the majority of those are because they were close contacts, and we need to be very stringent in terms of the precautions we take. So we have a period where we continue to monitor both staff and patients who are close contacts. We won't be bringing staff who are close contacts into the working environment until such time as that period has elapsed and we are clear that they are negative and they have developed no symptoms.
The Health Minister is among those welcoming news that a COVID-19 vaccine is proving 90% effective in trials, according to the pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. The vaccine has been tested on more than 43,000 people in six countries. And while trials are continuing, no safety concerns have emerged thus far. The EU has confirmed a contract for 300 million doses will soon be signed. Immunologist Dr. Laura Dungan says the vaccine has been trialled in a huge range of people, and that's important.
They have used a hugely diverse background. They say 42% of the people who receive this vaccine are from ethnicities other than Caucasian, and they have also done it in a wide age range as well, which is very important. You know, they've given it to people who have HIV infections, hepatitis B infections, hepatitis C infections. They're not just looking for the healthy white, which is extremely important for a vaccine against coronavirus. So it does look like it's reasonably efficacious in across the board.
Well, caution is being advised. The Professor of Immunology at Maynooth University, Paul Moyna, says there are still some question marks around the vaccine's effectiveness.
Two doses of the vaccine were given 21 days apart, and then we saw protection from a week later. So how long does that protection last for? Does it also protect, for example, in terms of older people, vulnerable groups, toxicity, safety? We need to see the data around that. But certainly very encouraging in terms of that 90% figure, albeit with the caveat, the questions that I've just outlined.
COVID-19 testing is being rolled out at three mink farms in the Republic as part of enhanced surveillance by the Department of Agriculture. One of the facilities is in Donegal. The other two are in Cork and Laois. It follows widespread outbreaks of a new strain of coronavirus on Danish mink farms. The Department of Agriculture says no animals have tested positive for coronavirus here, and it does not suspect the disease has spread to mink. It says no mink have been imported into Ireland this year, and farms have been told to implement biosecurity measures to protect their animals. The government is being urged to prioritise the resumption of respite care for Donegal service users. It's understood that of the four designated respite centres in the county, two of them, Riverwalk Respite House in Inishowen and Drumbow Respite House in Stranorer, are providing emergency respite services for four adults. There are also reports that Donegal centres are working at a reduced capacity, where some service users have had to isolate, thus requiring a greater amount of space, and that's affecting the capacity of other centres. While appreciating that staff within the service are working under difficult conditions, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty says the Minister for Health must address this situation as a matter of urgency.
There is a limited amount of service being provided, but at a very reduced scale. And what we're really asking the HSC and the Department of Health and the Minister is to prioritise the service. It's been going on now for a long, long period of time, and families are at breaking point in many regards in relation to not being able to have that respite. And we know how important it is to have that little break, that respite there, and that allows you to recharge the batteries as a family. It allows you to then to continue to provide that ongoing care for your loved one. And without that, the system basically collapses. So it's really, really important that this is prioritised and we find additional space for these families.
So this is a matter of space rather than recruitment, or are there recruitment issues feeding into this as well?
We've always had a problem in Donegal in terms of respite, and you know, it's not the first time that I've been on Highland Radio talking about it. It's been an appalling situation where we haven't had the actual facilities and staff available to us. We made a big breakthrough last year or earlier this year in relation to South Donegal when that was finally opened, but we are still way below what we need. And as a result of COVID-19 now and the restrictions that are in place, that isn't really coming home to us, because we were left with a very poor system in the first place, not enough capacity, and now that is putting huge pressure on these families. What we need to now do is just make sure that whatever support we can give to families out there is given, and is given as quickly as possible.
And that was Deputy Pearse Doherty speaking to us earlier today. A woman has told the Central Criminal Court that her half-brother's apology for abusing her as a child means nothing to her. The man, who can't be named to protect her identity, will be sentenced early next year. Court's correspondent Frank Graney has this report.
The abuse took place when the man's half-sister was 6 or 7 years old. She's now in her 20s. When she went to Gardaí 3 years ago, she told them he blindfolded her under the pretense of playing a game. Following his arrest, he said he knew it was bold and wrong, but he thought he was just playing like an adult. In her victim impact statement, the woman told her abuser today that she felt worthless afterwards and couldn't be left on her own when she got older, for fear she'd harm herself or take her own life. She said she's still terrified of him and has anxiety attacks when out in her own hometown in case she bumps into him. The man will be sentenced in January. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
A Labour senator says motherhood isn't the main cause of the gender pay gap. Today is Equal Pay Day, which highlights that women in Ireland earn 14.4% less than men on average. The campaign says from today, women in Ireland are effectively working for free for the rest of the year. Senator Ivana Bacic says there are a number of factors that contribute to the pay gap.
It's not just about motherhood, because women who are not mothers are clearly also being disadvantaged. So there's a number of different factors here, clearly. It's about, certainly about caring responsibilities outside the workplace. It's also about sexism in some entities. It is also clearly about the type of jobs people are in and about the culture in different firms. And as I say, culture plays a hugely important role in contributing to gender pay gap, and that's a difficult one to tackle.
10 new jobs are to be created in West Donegal following confirmation that European consultancy firm Pangea is to establish an operational hub in Gwydir. Currently, the business is headquartered in Geneva with offices throughout Europe, the UK and the US. Pangea is, it said, a fast-growing company. It's anticipated their global network of business consultants will be managed through the base in the GTEC Centre in Gwydir. Uthras Chief Executive Micheál Ochini has been outlining how this development came about.
We're getting an awful lot of inquiries from companies, from individuals that want to return to Donegal and work as remote workers, and we're able to provide those facilities in Gwydir and in other digital hubs around the Gaeltacht and other parts of the county. So I think that it's good to have good quality office space available that can compare with anything else that's available anywhere else, Ireland or internationally. and good connectivity in terms of broadband to the hubs. So these are big advantages that we're able to capitalize on, and it's very encouraging to see a company like Pangea making that decision to locate in West Donegal.
And it's a testament to yourselves as well that these big companies want to locate in West Donegal.
Well, we would have worked closely with the IDA in attracting this company. And I think it's also important to say that the Donegal diaspora is also very important here, because one of the prime movers in the company is originally from Burtonport. And that type of network, that type of reaching out to our Donegal diaspora certainly helps in cases like this, as well as our close working relationship with the IDA.
Micheál Mahoney there, speaking to Catherine Gaffney. He's the CEO of Udras na Gaeltachta. Both Donegal County Council and Transport Infrastructure Ireland are being urged to carry out an urgent review of one of the main arteries into Letterkenny. It follows frequent reports of road rage due to traffic backlog at the mountaintop during peak times. The issue is to be raised at a meeting of the Letterkenny Milford Middle District tomorrow by Councillor Michael McBride. He says it's a very busy route that badly needs an upgrade. He has a proposal for the council to consider.
The people that is on the other access roads onto that roundabout are having massive problems getting access to it. I've been asked if, you know, we would look at putting boxers on it to try and give them a chance to get onto that roundabout, and also to get it off, you know, if they're going back up towards the quarry at the mountaintop again, to try and get, you know, come round the roundabout and get out there. So I think it's a roundabout that certainly needs attention. It's not working the way it is. And frequent reports of road rage on it, I think it's something that we need to explore and try and find out and at some type of a solution to the problem that we have there.
Because arguably it is actually the residents in and around the mountaintop area who are suffering the most because of the current layout, in your opinion.
Well, it is. You know, I mean, the people trying to gain access from those roads on to the roundabout, it's very difficult. And but, you know, as well as that, people are under time pressures there in the morning trying to get into work, and there's a high volume of traffic there. Maybe not as bad just now because, you know, maybe not as much traffic on the road due to COVID, but we know at peak hours it's not unusual to have that traffic halfway down to Dons of Illiston. And people are under pressure to try and get into work in the hospital and into, you know, a lot of our multinationals, into schools and all these types of places. And I suppose you have to allow for a wee bit more travel time to get there, but still it's a problem that we've had that's been there for a long time. It has been addressed and raised before, but I think it's come high time now to try and get something done about it. So I'm asking Donegal County Council, you know, to consult with the TIA to try and come up with a solution.
Councillor Michael McBride there, the manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club, has hit out at those behind a vandalism attack on the grounds of the golf club over the weekend. A sign in the shape of a golf ball, which became synonymous with the Irish Open in 2018, was discovered damaged yesterday morning. Manager John Farron says work is underway to assess the extent of the damage. He says it would have taken a vehicle to do what was done.
Unfortunately, on Saturday night, some idiots tried to remove it or damage it. Certainly, they seem to have reversed a four-wheel drive vehicle on top of the sign and try to dislodge it. Now they've damaged it, but we're just waiting for machinery to come and lift it out so we can see and assess whether it's fixable or not. It's deliberate. You can see the tire tracks going up onto the mound, and it would take some considerable force to move the thing. They've actually broken it out of its concrete moorings.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Support local and get everything you need this Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with soccer. It's the final night of games in the SSE Artrusty Premier Division, with European and relegation places still to be decided. Dermot Doherty has more.
Finn Harps will stay in the top flight of Irish football for another season if they beat European chasing Waterford at Finn Park, and either Shells or Derry City lose at Shamrock Rovers or Cork City. A draw or a defeat for Harps would mean a relegation promotion playoff against Longford Town this weekend. Mark Timlin remains out for the Balbafay side, while Carlo Sullivan is still a doubt after sustaining an injury against Bowes a fortnight ago. Leo Donnellan will serve an additional suspension after his red card in that same game. Harps versus Waterford will be live on Highland this evening from 7:30, and joining me on commentary will be former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle.
I mean, if they put themselves in that position where, you know, 3 points could end up leapfrogging over Derry City and over Shelburne and getting away from the playoff spot. But, I mean, the form's been good. They've been playing well. Even though they were beaten by Shamrock Rovers, the performance overall was very good considering the Shamrock Rovers are going so well and full of confidence. But, yeah, I mean, Waterford obviously are going for Europe and they're pushing hard behind Dundalk to get 3 points and they're 2 points behind them. So they're trying to get into the last European spot. So, but it's a big game for both clubs and obviously more so for Harps because Harps want to get out of the playoffs and I think if they can get 3 points in against Waterford and that'll make a obviously depending on other results between Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers and Cork and Derry, but you know, to get 3 points first and see what happens elsewhere.
Yeah, Harps will not make it easy for them tonight.
No, I mean Harps have been playing well. I mean their form's been good. Yeah, I mean I know we Ollie plays down. That, you know, Waterford are a good team coming in good form, and they are coming in good form. Last five matches, they've won two, lost two, and drawn one, so they're coming in good form. They don't concede too many goals, so it's going to be a tight affair tonight. But there's a lot of positives that happen with Harps. They've been playing well, and they've been hard to beat at home, and we're looking for a big performance tonight. Regardless of what happens elsewhere, we've got to make sure we pick up 3 points.
Derry City know a point or a win in Cork will be enough to stay out of that playoff place, while Shelburne, who host the champions at Talca Park, also know that a point should be good enough given their superior goal difference over Harps. Declan Boyle says tonight is a huge game for Derry City.
Probably been the biggest game for them in the last couple of seasons. You know, really considering, you know, the performances probably haven't been as good as they should have been, considering the players, the quality they have and the budget they have as well. And it's a big game. But the fact they've travelled down there, they're down two nights, and that, you know, the players will probably train yesterday and got a wee light session, and then that'll concentrate everybody's minds and they'll put there to put on a professional performance. We don't really know what Cork's going to do. I mean, they've been relegated now the last 3 weeks, so it's a big ask for them to come and put on a performance, but they also have pride and their full-time outfit, so they'll be doing their best to obviously restore a wee bit of confidence in the supporters and in the team themselves. So you just don't know. I mean, you're expecting that Derry should have the quality to and they're under more pressure than Cork City to go and win the game, and I expect maybe Derry to maybe 1-2-1 down there and maybe score late on or something to win the game. But you just never know what's going to happen because you don't know what we're going to get from Cork. But if Cork can score first, that could put a lot of pressure on Derry.
Also tonight, Dundalk can guarantee Europa League football for next season if they avoid defeat against Sligo Rovers at Oriel Park. If Dundalk lose, Waterford can move above them in the table if they can beat Finn Harps and Balbuffet. In the other game tonight, St. Pat's welcome Bows to Richmond Park.
Once again, Harps against Waterford live here in Highland tonight with Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle as from the 7:30 kickoff. The GAA confirmed the venues and throw-in times today for the weekend's action. This Saturday in the Nicky Rackard Hurling Cup semi-final, the Donegal senior hurlers play Tyrone. That game has been fixed for 1:30 on Saturday at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. The game will be played at the same time as the county senior men's and ladies footballers are in action. Donegal, of course, meet Armagh at Breffni Park in Cavan in the Ulster football semi-final at 1:15. And at 1 o'clock, the Donegal senior ladies play Waterford in their concluding All-Ireland Series game in Mullingar, Westmeath. Meanwhile, All-Ireland champions Tipperary will face Cork in the second round of the Hurling Championship qualifiers. The other game will see Wexford manager Davy Fitzgerald go up against his native Clare. Both of those games are on Saturday as well. On to golf. Sergio Garcia will not be at Augusta this weekend. The 2017 Masters champion will miss his first major championship since 1999. The Spaniard confirmed on his social media today that he will miss the Masters this week due to coronavirus. The important thing is that my family and I are feeling good. We will come back stronger and give the green jacket a go next April. Dubai will stage a double header of European Tour events in December with the creation of the Golf in Dubai Championship presented by DP World. The €1 million event will take place on the Fire Course at the Jumeirah Golf Estates from the 2nd to the 5th of December. The season-ending DP World Tour Championship, contested on the neighbouring Earth Course, will take place from the 10th to the 13th of next month. In rugby, Ulster will look to preserve their 100% start to the Pro 14 season tonight. Dan McFarlane's side entertain Glasgow from a quarter past eight. And in other rugby news, Jonathan Sexton has backed Jacob Stockdale to recover from his performance against France. A couple of errors from the Ulster player cost Ireland dear on the night in Paris, but as international captain, Phil Stockdale will again prove his worth in the Autumn Nations Cup, beginning against the Welsh on Friday.
He's a great guy, Jacob, and he knows that, you know, some of the mistakes that he made on the day, you know, you capitalise them into. There was one time he made a great line break and the ball just slipped out of his hand. It was a bar of soap. Another one where it's like fired at his feet and knocked on. Like those type of things, he'll get them the next day. And we just need him to keep being himself, because you saw what he can do against Italy. You've seen what he can do, especially at fullback over the season with Ulster. And even I remember, a couple of years ago playing quarter final against Leinster, he was probably the best player on the pitch that day. Outstanding in the air, you know, attacking, you know, so he's kept his confidence, I think, and we're looking forward to seeing his best on Friday night.
Finally, just looking ahead to tonight on HighlandRadio.com, this week's DL debate with Brendan Devenny. We'll see them discuss the state of club football in Donegal and in Ulster. He'll be joined by John Harn and Enda McGinley. Plus, a new health and fitness section will be launched tonight as well, with training plans and nutrition advice with Adam Spear. That's the DL Debate podcast tonight, available online at HighlandRadio.com just after 7. Don't forget, we'll have live commentary from Harps against Waterford to come tonight here on Highland from 7:30. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. And just to remind you that match between Finn Harps and Waterford will be broadcast live on Highland. Kicks off at 7:30 with commentary from Dermot and Declan as well. So you can, of course, listen to the match if you can't make it, which of course you can sadly make it to Finn Park. So you can listen to the match unfold as it happens here on Highland Radio from around about 7:30 tonight. And before that one, of course, the DL debate just after the 7 o'clock news. Let's take a final look at the weather forecast before we go, and Met Aaron tell us that it'll be mainly cloudy tonight with some passing showery rain, a risk of some drizzle and mist developing in some areas, with lowest overnight temperatures 9 to 11 degrees Celsius, light variable winds. Tomorrow Tuesday mainly dry with some good sunny spells. Later in the afternoon, cloud will thicken as southerly winds freshen. That'll bring some rain with highest temperatures tomorrow 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. Looking at the main stories, and the cafes and restaurants in Northern Ireland may be allowed to reopen this week, but without selling alcohol. Some restrictions are to be kept after a 4-week circuit break lockdown expires on Thursday. Ministers have been meeting at Stormont this evening to discuss their final decisions, which will be announced shortly. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital says they're continuing to effectively manage a COVID-19 outbreak at the hospital. Close contacts, including both patients and staff, are being closely monitored. Some staff are out of the hospital, and that's exacerbating the problem. Non-COVID services are being impacted, according to Sean Murphy. The health minister is among those welcoming news that a COVID-19 vaccine is proving to be 90% effective in trials. However, caution is being advised. And we're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 9th of November. The death has taken place of James Pat Gibbons, Greenfort, Porthsallan, Donegal. James's remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass will take place in St. Columbus Church Massmount at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and the government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, Surgical 1, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Jerry Shields, Ballyheeran, Kilmacrennan. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral to St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, tomorrow for 11 o'clock Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and the government guidelines, the funeral and burial are private to family, neighbours and close friends. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the parish Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place in Vancouver, Canada, of Michael Boyle, formerly of Dearlocht Letchermack Award. Memorial Mass will take place on Thursday, November 19th in Vancouver. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Mary Coyle, formerly of Dewey Downings. Her remains are reposing at the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11 can be viewed live on the Meva Parish Facebook page. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and to government guidelines, the funeral is private to family and close friends. The death has occurred of Mary Ann Dugan, née Doherty, Crove, Kilcar. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Patrick's Church, Meenanary, for funeral mass at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family, close friends and neighbours only, please. The death has taken place of Hughie Gallagher, Coventry, England, and formerly of 29, Ard Columbkill, Letterkenny, and Crossconnell, Clonmany. His remains will arrive at St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in New Leck Cemetery. In compliance with current government and HSE guidelines, funeral and interment will be private to family, neighbours and close friends only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on www.churchservices.tv/letterkenny. Inquiries to Jim Midlin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Hugh Cunningham, Carrick Upper, Donegal. His remains are reposing at his home in Carrick. Removal from there to St Columba's Church, Carrick, tomorrow for funeral mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the house wake and burial are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice through Kearns Funeral Services or any family member. Hugh's funeral mass will be streamed by a family relative and can be viewed at facebook.com/Margaret R. Cunningham. And the death has taken place of Sarah Jane Sally Deveney, née Woods, formerly of 33 Harkness Gardens Brigade, late of Drayan House, Manor Cunningham. Funeral service in D&R Hay & Sons Funeral Home, Derry, tomorrow Tuesday at 11:15. In accordance with government guidelines, the funeral service is restricted to immediate family only, please. Funeral leaving the funeral home and arriving at Harkness Gardens Brigade at 11:45, and then on to Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, arriving at 3:15. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Athlone Hospital, Ward 24, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director.